Well, turning your Bibles to John chapter 6 as we continue, of course, our study of the Gospel of John. John shows Jesus to be, of course, the Christ, the Son of God, and all who believe in Him have eternal life. You remember at the very, close to the very end of the book in John 20, 30 and 31, He said there are many signs that Jesus did that are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing you will have eternal life. That's the purpose of the book. We are seeing His ministry. He's around the Sea of Galilee. The crowds are coming. He is teaching them. For the last few weeks, we have seen that the crowds are coming because Jesus has been meeting physical needs. We saw Him feed the 5,000 men. That's not counting the women and children. They are coming. They wanted more food. But Jesus wants them to realize that they need the bread from heaven, the bread that gives eternal life. This morning, we see Jesus teaching the crowd. And we're going to see some great truths and some foundational areas that we need to know and understand. Let me just show you some things to think about. We're going to talk about salvation by faith because He mentions that. We're going to talk about security and assurance. We're going to see the issue of the sovereignty of God, especially working in our salvation, and then the idea of resurrection, bodily resurrection. So as we see Jesus teaching the crowds, we realize He is teaching some great truths. Well, one of the goals at Countryside, of course, is that those who are connected with the church that'll grow. And not only are they growing and being disciples, but they're making disciples. We have a lot of different studies that people can take, and you've heard of the 2-2 study and all those things. But we have a study we often call the 4-12. It's really called 4-12 Foundations. And when you think about that, it's the goal of the 4-12 Foundation studies is to equip the believers to do ministry, to build up the body of Christ. That's what we're all about. This study in itself takes believers through some key foundational areas that we all need to know to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. If you go back to Matthew 28, 18 through 20, which we find the Great Commission, that's the bottom line. That's the plan, to make disciples, leading people to Christ and then training them, equipping them. That's what discipleship is. It's twofold, evangelism and training. Leading people to Christ, training them and equipping them. In our 4-12 study, we study things like this: salvation, security, Bible study, the church, prayer. All of these are foundational truths that we need to know. Well, this morning, as we look at John 6, 35 through 40, Jesus teaches the crowd and He deals with some key foundational truths. They're coming for physical food, but He wants to give them more. He wants to give them spiritual food. He wants to teach them things about salvation and eternal life and security and sovereignty and resurrection. Key truths that all believers need to know. And we're going to see, as we see these verses, and we saw them last time, we went through them right at the end of the study. We're going to get a little bit more detail this morning, and we're going to look at four key areas, and I'll show them to you as we go through it. As we begin, let's just remember where we are. We're in the life of Christ, of course, get presented by the Gospel of John, and of course, Jesus at this time is in the northern part of Israel. He's around the Sea of Galilee. His headquarters is at Capernaum. Let me remind you of the map, and just to show you, if you remember the southern part of Israel, there's Judea, and that's Jerusalem. The middle part of Israel is called Samaria, and the Jewish people didn't really go through Samaria. Jesus did, but not the Jewish people. The northern part of Israel is called Galilee. There's a city called Capernaum where Jesus had His headquarters. There's a little city called Cana of Galilee where Jesus did His first two miracles. Cana and Nazareth, where Jesus grew up, is only about 6 miles apart. And then on the east side of the Sea of Galilee, that's where Jesus fed the 5,000 and all that. So His ministry most of the time is in the northern part of Israel. Sometimes He comes south, especially for the feast days and things, to come to Jerusalem. So we're seeing that the crowds are coming to Jesus. We saw last time that on the east side of the Sea of Galilee, He fed 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. It may have been as many as 15,000 to 20,000 people that they fed. His men, after that, He put them in the boat. They went across the Sea of Galilee. They got about halfway across. Big storm. They were stuck there. Jesus walked on the water, got to them. When He got in the boat, immediately the boat went to the other side. The next day, the crowds are coming back to the place where Jesus fed the 5,000, but He's not there. They don't know what happened to Him because they saw His men leaving the boat, but they never saw Him leave. They didn't know He walked on the water. And so they get in their boats and they go to the other side, to Capernaum, and they find Him. And the very first question they ask is, "When did you get here?" And He doesn't really deal with that. He begins to teach the crowd. Look at verse 26 again of John 6. Jesus answered them and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek Me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. And so he told them that they shouldn't be going after the bread that's temporary, but he wanted them to go after the bread of life, the bread of life which gives eternal life. If you notice, verse 35, this is where we saw last week. We'll start here in just a second. But in verse 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. I mean, that's the key. He's the bread of life. And that's the first, and we gave a little handout for you. Remember, you got the things out there. You need to be picking these up and giving these out. I've noticed that we're not picking them up lately. And as I've said, if you say, but I've got some of these, well, I had one, but then I lost it. But anyway, I've got some of these, well, you're not supposed to keep them. You say, get one and then give them away and then come back and get some more. Also, the handout that I have for you, which on this side shows the seven signs and the seven I am's in the Gospel of John. We're seeing the first of the seven I am's where Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Well, this morning, we want to focus on verses 35 through 40 as we go through the Gospel of John. Four things stand out. I want you to see them. Salvation, security of the believer, sovereignty of God, and resurrection. Now, those are four key truths that as believers, you should understand. You should understand the salvation message, that salvation is simply by faith in Christ. You should understand security of the believer and understand the issue of assurance. You should understand the sovereignty of God and how that fits together. When I say understand the sovereignty of God, nobody can completely grasp the sovereignty of God. And then, last but not least, understand resurrection, and it talks about bodily resurrection. Well, let's begin. The crowds have come to be fed. Jesus teaches them, don't go after the bread that perishes, but go after the bread of life. Look at verse 33 of John 6. Jesus says, for the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. And he's talking about himself. He's the bread of life that comes, and whoever believes in him has eternal life and lives forever. And so they haven't completely got it. So look what they say in verse 34. Then they said to him, Lord, always give us this bread. They haven't grasped it. So he says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. He says, I am the way of salvation. The first key truth to think about is salvation. We're talking about eternal life comes through the bread of life, and that is Jesus Christ. So he says, I am the bread of life, and he who comes to me will not hunger. He who believes in me will never thirst. Now, I want you to think about three things there. There's the offer. The offer is life, eternal life. It's through the bread of life, through the person of Jesus Christ, and it's simply by faith. When you think about the scripture, that's what it is. We have the offer of eternal life through the person of Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life, and that is simply by faith. So, as the next slide says, eternal life is through Jesus Christ by faith. It is that simple. That's the message of the Gospel of John. We've told you that 98 places, 98 times in the Gospel of John, it talks about that salvation is by faith. Over 150 places in the New Testament, it says salvation is by faith. That is the message of the Scripture, that faith in Jesus Christ and you have eternal life. God's offer is eternal life, life forever with him through Jesus Christ. And so we see, he says, I am the bread of life, the first of the seven I am statements. Now, here's a key, and I want you to remember this. Eternal life is in a person. It is not works, goodness, actions, religion, a church, any of those. It is in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. We are not the Savior. It is not what we do or promise to do or keep on doing. We trust in him and him alone for eternal life. He is the life giver. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the resurrection and the life. Life is in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. And it comes through him. It's a couple of verses, or at least one verse I put up there is John 14:6. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father through me. 1 Peter 3:18 says, Christ died for sin once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God. If you notice in verse 40, because this ties together, he says, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life. Eternal life is in Jesus Christ. God offers us eternal life. Now, let me just say this, and just listen carefully. He doesn't offer us a happy life or a good life or a successful life. We may have all of that, But what he offers to us is eternal life simply by faith in all who believe. In verse 35, whoever believes. In verse 36, he says, you have not believed in me. In verse 40, he says, all who believe. So three times in this passage, we see the issue of faith. Jesus Christ died and rose again, and all who believe in him will never perish, but have eternal life. Salvation is by faith. Whether it's the Old Testament or New Testament, you go back to the Old Testament, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. It's by faith. You come to the New Testament, God so loved the world he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes, it's always that way. We must understand the first key foundational truth is the salvation issue. There are so many people that are confused. They think it's good works. They think it's their faithfulness. They think it's what they do that somehow can save them. We realize that salvation is in the person of Christ. By faith in him, you are saved and saved forever. So a question to ask, and I know almost all of you, but do you have eternal life? And it is simply by faith in Christ. Now, that was the first aspect, because he said, I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger. He who believes in me will never thirst. And he said, but I say to you, you have seen me, but you have not believed. And that's what he's telling all these crowds. They're coming for the wrong reason. They want to be fed. He wants them to believe in him as the bread of life, as the one who gives eternal life. Now, there's a second great truth, and it ties together, and that's the issue of security. Security. The truth is this, when we come to Jesus Christ, when we trust in him, we are saved and saved forever. In verse 37, he says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, notice, I will certainly not cast out. The way the Greek is written there, it is in no. He says, I will no way ever cast out. When we come to Jesus Christ, we receive salvation by faith. We will never be separated from him. The security that we have is that Jesus Christ gives us eternal life, life forever with Christ, and we are saved and saved forever. In Romans chapter 8, what can separate us from the love of God? Nothing can separate us from the love of God. I want you to think about something. When you think about security, there are two aspects of our security that goes back to God's promises and God's power. I'm going to just do this for me. Just hold your place and turn to John chapter 10 just for a second. We'll get to this. It's several, maybe some months down the road, but in John chapter 10, I want you to look at verse 28. Go ahead and turn over there. And it's just one verse, but in this one verse, you see the promises and the power of God. Okay? John 10, 28. Jesus, of course, is speaking, and he says in verse 28, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. There's the promise. I give eternal life, and they will never perish. Here's the power. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. So you have God's promises and God's power. Let's think about God's promise in John 10, 28. He says, I give you eternal life. Now, you have to think for just a minute about eternal life when we think about the security aspect. Eternal life has two aspects to it. First of all, it is a type of life. Okay? It is life forever with Jesus Christ. So when we say eternal life, we don't just mean people are going to live forever. Because every human being is going to exist forever. Jesus Christ died and rose again and conquered death. Every human being will be raised from the dead. There will be some people raised from the dead, and they will spend eternity separated from Christ. It's called the second death because they have never trusted in Christ. There will be people who will be raised from the dead to spend eternity with Jesus Christ. It's called eternal life. It's because they have put their faith in Christ. So when we say, he says, I give to them eternal life, he's talking about life forever with Jesus Christ. There's a second aspect, and that eternal life means eternal life. It means it never ends. And that means when you believe in Jesus Christ, he gives you eternal life and it never ends. So it's not a question like somebody could say, could you lose your salvation? How can you lose eternal life? If eternal life could end, it wasn't eternal life. So the moment you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, he gives to you eternal life and you will never perish. And sometimes people have a little question because it says, I give them eternal life and they'll never perish. Some people say, well, when do you get the eternal life? You get the eternal life the moment you trust in Christ as Savior. John 5:24, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has, present tense, has eternal life. Will never come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. We get eternal life the moment we believe. So, first of all, God's promise is life, eternal life, but there's the power. And I think, have a hand out, yeah, power. We can never be taken out of his hand. Notice what it says. I give you eternal life and you'll never perish. That's the promise. The power is no one can snatch you out of my hand. Nothing can ever separate us. Now, I want you to think about something. Go ahead and turn back to John chapter 6. But I want you to realize that every believer should know and understand their security in Christ. Every one of you in this room, if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, you should understand you are secure. Now, this is called assurance. Our understand the security we have in Christ, this is assurance. You should have the assurance of your salvation. If somebody said to you, are you saved? And you say, yes. Are you going to have eternal life? I'm saved and I'm saved forever. It's not a question. If you have trusted in Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. Nothing can separate you. You should have the assurance of your salvation. One of the foundational truths of our Christian lives is our understanding our security and having assurance. It goes back not to you. It is not your faithfulness. It is not what you're going to do. If it was dependent on you, you could not have assurance. It is dependent on him. He said, I give you eternal life. You will never perish. Nobody could ever pluck you out of my hand. When people do not understand the security that we have, if they do not have the assurance of salvation, it affects them usually in two ways. Once, and they're unstable. They are always up and down. Sometimes they'd say, I think I'm saved because this is happening. Sometimes things go wrong. They go, I don't know if I'm saved or not. So people who don't have the assurance of their salvation are unstable. Second is, when they serve out of fear. Oftentimes people who don't have the assurance of salvation, they serve so they won't lose their salvation. They're afraid. They say, I got to keep doing this because I don't want to lose it. Listen, we don't want to be unstable Christians, and we want to serve not out of fear. We want to serve out of love. The love what Jesus Christ has done to us, done for us and done to us. So we have eternal life and we shall never perish. So think about what we've seen so far. The two truths, salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ. Second, security, we are saved and saved forever. We should have assurance. The third key truth that we see in this little section is the sovereignty of God. And that is, and we just want to touch on it, God is sovereign and he works in our salvation. Notice verse 37, all that God gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. There's the dual aspect. The Father gives or draws and man comes. I want you to think about it. There's a dual aspect. There's God's side where he gives, brings, draws. There's man's side where we come and believe. They're both true and they both have to happen. How does God do this? He uses the Holy Spirit. In John, we're going to see it later on in John chapter 16 when we get to the upper room discourse. It talks about how he says, I'll send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. God uses the Holy Spirit to convict people, to draw them to themselves, draw them to himself. And then when we're drawn to himself, then some believe, some don't. That's how it works. God is, the goal that we have is to present the gospel to all people because all must believe. God is sovereignly working, bringing people to himself. We're taking the message of Jesus Christ. It fits together. I read this quote, and I think it's a good quote. It says this, we should fear only if the Lord were not in control. We should worry only if the Lord were not able to meet our needs. We should strive only if the Lord was not faithful. We should grieve only if the Lord was not risen. See, God is working. He is drawing us to himself, and we want people to believe. The Bible says they must hear the message and believe. They both go together. So we see that salvation is by faith in Christ. We see that we are secure in Christ. We see God is sovereignly working in our salvation. There's one last truth that he teaches in this section, and it is resurrection. And when we're talking about resurrection, he's talking about resurrection of the body. When the scripture talks about that there's going to be a resurrection, it's resurrection of the human body. It's physical. There's going to come a time when Jesus Christ will raise our bodies from the grave. Think about this. Look at verse 38. He says this, for I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will who sent me. And then he says this, this is the will of who sent me, that all that he has given me, I will lose nothing, but raise it up, notice, on the last day. He's talking about the last day of resurrection. Notice verse 40, he says the same thing. More details in the front, we'll get it more in just a second. But he says, but this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life. And notice, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. Now I want you to understand something. Resurrection is always of the body. When a person dies, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So the body goes in the grave, we go to be with the Lord. There's going to come a time when Jesus Christ raises the bodies. When he says, I myself will raise them up in the last day, he's talking about the resurrection of the body. Now, there are two aspects of the last days. The last day for the church is the rapture when Jesus Christ comes in the clouds. The last day for all others will be at his second coming, Revelation 19, beginning at verse 11. All of us who have trusted in Christ, we're talking about the church, the body of Christ. If we were to die physically, we'll be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. He will come in the clouds. We'll come with him. The dead in Christ will rise first. That's the bodies. We who are alive and remain, and the people left on the earth who are believers, will be caught up together with them. 1 Corinthians says, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we'll be changed. There is a resurrection of the body coming. Every human being, now I want you to understand this, every human being will be resurrected from the dead. Remember, some will be resurrected from the dead in bodies that will last forever, and they will experience what's called the second death. They will be separated from God forever because they did not believe in Christ. There'll be those who have trusted in Christ will be resurrected. The bodies will be raised. We'll have bodies that will last forever, and we will live with Jesus Christ forever. That's called eternal life. It's powerful. Listen to this. This is Philippians 3, 20 and 21. He says, for our citizenship is in heaven, for we wait eagerly for our Savior, the Lord Jesus, who will transform this body of our humble state into conformity with his body of glory. There will be a resurrection of the body because Jesus Christ has conquered death. When Jesus died on the cross, he paid for sin. When he was buried and rose again, he conquered death. That's why we talk about the death and resurrection of Christ. The gospel message is not just the death of Christ. The gospel message is the death and resurrection of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, Paul says, I delivered to you of first importance thoughts I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, that he was buried, and he rose again on the third day. The death and resurrection go together. The death paid for sin. The resurrection conquers death. That's what it's all about. It's very powerful truth. Jesus teaches the crowds these four truths. Now, remember I told you last week, he didn't just say number one, number two, number three, number four. I told you there were four truths in there, and I hoped as you read it last time and read it over the week that you could see those things. But they're powerful. Now, think about it. Here we have it. He's the bread of life. There's salvation. Salvation, eternal life, is simply by faith in Jesus Christ. It is not our works. It is not our goodness. We must proclaim into this community that salvation is a gift. We've talked many times that there's a lot of confusion. There are a lot of people who think you do things to be saved, whether it's repent of this or walk down this or give this to this or get baptized or be willing to do the following things. There are people who are confused. There are a lot of people who add works to salvation. Salvation is a gift by faith in Christ. He gives eternal life. That second aspect is he will never cast us out. We are secure in Jesus Christ based on his power and his promises. We should have the assurance of our salvation. If you know Jesus Christ as Savior, you should be assured of your salvation. You should never doubt your salvation. You shouldn't say, I hope I get to go to heaven. If you have trusted in Christ, he has given to you eternal life. He has given you eternal life at the moment you believe, and you can say, I know I have eternal life. 1 John 5, 11, 12, and 13, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things are written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You can know that you have eternal life by faith in Christ. The third aspect was that he gives, we come, he is sovereign in salvation. He is bringing mankind to himself, but each person must believe. It ties together. And then the fourth thing that we just talked about, he will raise us up. There will be bodily resurrection. Understand that, because some people, well, there are all kind of thoughts throughout history that when people die, the body is gone and there's just this soul kind of floating around. No, there's going to be an eternal body for us. See, he's conquered sin and death. He's paid for sin when he died on the cross. He has conquered death, and he's given life, and he's given us a body forever through his resurrection from the dead. That's why he's called the first fruits of the resurrection. We come into that. Great truths that we need to know. Let's make some application. First of all, realize that salvation is in a person. It is. It is in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the resurrection of life. He's the bread of life. He is the one who gives eternal life. How is that possible? It's simply by faith. We believe and we will have eternal life. Aren't you glad that it's not what you do that saves you? Because you may not do it. You may not keep doing it. You may not can do it. In fact, the truth is you can't, because the wages of sin is death. Everybody sinned, and so we all owe God death. The payment for sin is not good works. If you could even do good works and try to live righteously, that will not save you, because that doesn't pay for sin. Jesus Christ paid for sin and gives eternal life. So many are confused. Realize that salvation is in a person, the person of Jesus Christ. I read this quote. It said this. It was about 200 years ago that the tomb of the great conqueror Charlemagne was opened. The sight of the workmen was startling because they saw his body in his tomb was in a sitting position. He was clothed in his elaborate garments with a scepter in his bony hand, but on his knee was the scriptures. And his finger was on Mark 8:36, and it said, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul?" Salvation is not in you. Salvation is in Jesus. He's the Savior. Trust in Him and you have eternal life. Second, rest in the security of Jesus Christ. He is the one we can have. I think the next slide or the next point says we can have assurance of salvation. I hope everyone in this room, not only that you've trusted Christ as Savior, but you say, "I know I'm saved. I have eternal life because of the promises and power of God." He said, "I give you eternal life. You'll never perish. Nobody can pluck you out of my hand. What can separate me from the love of God? Nothing. I have life forever." Based on His promise and His power, not based on us. So you can rest in the security of Christ. You can have assurance of salvation. Last but not least, the third thing is God's salvation plan is total. It is total. It's not only, as we got, not only spiritual life, but physical life. Jesus Christ will raise our bodies. That's not the end. We have an eternal life with Jesus Christ in a physical body. I read this quote. It said, "Man can give medicine when sickness comes. He can give food when hunger comes. He can give help when weakness comes. He can give love when loneliness comes. But when death comes, man can give sympathy and compassion, but never the gift of life. Only God can give the gift of life. He is the one who raises the dead." May we proclaim clearly that salvation is just by faith. Faith in Jesus Christ, in the person of Christ, resting in the assurance of our salvation, knowing not only does He give spiritual life, but physical life as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great passage. Thank You, Lord, for these truths that are found just in these verses. And Lord, we think about the whole idea of salvation and security and sovereignty and resurrection. And Lord, thank You for these great truths. And first of all, we realize salvation is in a person, the person of Christ. Thank You, Lord, that we can know that and that we trust in Jesus and we're saved and saved forever. Thank You, Lord, we can have the security and the assurance of our salvation in Jesus. And thank You, Lord, that it's total plan that one day You will raise us from the dead, our bodies. To be absent from the body is to be with You, but we will be raised from the dead to be with You forever in a body for all time. Thank You, Lord, for these truths. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.